These Doritos are delicious.
Welcome back to another episode of Wrench Jockey Radio. Yes, I pulled out the fucking Doritos this fucking time. Because I'm kind of hungry right now.
They're kind of smacking.
I had some wings for dinner.
Me too.
Did you? Oh, yeah, you did. You had wings for dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just ate the remainder of my wings from lunch today for dinner.
For lunch, bud.
We ran down to a pub. Happens to be close to one of our coworkers' brothers.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What, you gonna pick up? You got a bone?
Bowling alley in that motherfucker?
Yeah, we got a bowling alley in that motherfucker.
All right, bud.
Yeah, you got a bone to pick?
How are the wings? I ain't had them.
They're good. I got the Buffalo Mild sort of deal.
Pussy hurt?
No, I just had never had... I had never had their wings before. Nate raves about how good their wings are. Right. But I'd never had them before, so I typically try and start in the middle and then work my way either direction depending on how bad it is.
No, I get it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, how's the firehouse going right now? No?
It's going.
It's going?
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
It's all broken. I'm too stupid to fix it.
It's all broken. I'm too stupid to fix it.
Yeah, man.
Fuck yeah. Work's kind of going.
And I already know someone in here is going to bitch about the chip bag. Eat my ass.
Well, regardless of all the bullshit Dakota and I have to talk about, next week we'll talk about all of our bullshit.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Every single time. But this week we have a guest, and this week our guest is a fella by the name of Austin Denny. Austin, how are you doing?
Man, I'm doing great.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I'm just chilling up here in Michigan for the weekend.
Are you going to do anything while you're up there in Michigan, or?
Mishituckee. Nobody goes to Mishituckee.
Hey, man, I normally don't come up here, but when Bullseye Power calls and says, get up here, I come running.
Oh, damn it. All right, fine.
Shit. All right. Well, to go ahead and ease into, I was about to say edge. I don't like the word.
Why
edge.
Are you edging right now?
I'm
uncomfortable.
I'm not edging right now. To sort of ease into this a little bit, Austin. Actually, we haven't done this in a little while because we haven't had like a new interviewee.
Oh fuck!
For a little bit, like we've kind of went back and talked to a couple people again.
I didn't know what's coming,
Austin. We got to go through something called the shitbox count.
Oh my god.
So
okay, what is the shitbox count?
So from the age of 16, 15, 16, when you got your driver's license, right?
Yeah.
All the way up till now.
That's the shitbox count.
We got to run through the vehicles you've had.
Holy shit. Okay. Oh, damn. First car was a 2008 Ford Fusion. The next vehicle would have been my junior year of high school, was actually the same crew cab truck that I still have, the 2003 6-liter.
Okay.
Started ruining my life that I have now.
Yeah, you'll have that.
Then I got, man, do we count bikes in this too?
We can if you want.
We have before.
Yeah, we have before.
I mean, right after the truck came a Yamaha R6.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, life happened, and I realized I was going to kill myself.
That checks out.
That's actually the same bike I decided I would never own a crotch rocket riding.
Yeah, same decision.
Second time I ever rode it, I was doing 130, and I said, nope.
Yeah, mine was like 150, but yeah.
Uh-huh.
After that, got to a 1999 Honda Accord.
There we go.
Then got my 2014 6.7. And now I have also a 2004 Chevy Colorado 5-speed.
Shit.
That I daily drive.
What a woman.
What a woman.
Oh, yeah, bright orange. It's a fucking unit.
Right.
But really, I guess, man, not counting race trucks, I had much shit.
Okay. Well, on that note, when you mentioned race trucks, can you go ahead and explain to all the listeners just who you are?
A person that has judgment issues.
What do you?
I drag race 6 liter power strokes, man, and I'm know how to make a fuck ton of power with them.
Austin Denny drag races 6 liter power strokes. There's never been somebody more insane on the face of this planet other than this motherfucker.
Someone's got to do it.
Somebody's got to do it.
Fuck. I mean, it's big turbos and a lot of nitrous, and those little fuckers will scream.
This is true.
They love it.
This is true.
6 liters are glutton for punishment.
They are.
They love nitrous. It's a beautiful thing.
They love getting the shit kicked out of them, in general.
I know. It made me really happy when Logan's like, yeah, I think I'm going to do T4 kit on mine. And I was like, oh my god, yes. I got extremely excited. About wrecked and everything on the way up here.
Yeah, my six liter needs more than just a T4 kit right now.
Oh, but now we're back on the T4 kit kick?
Yeah, oh yeah.
You fucking asshole.
Look, I'm going to call Larry tomorrow, and we're just going to figure this out.
Oh my god. Before we go talk to Larry, I got to take my cab off and do a couple things.
I mean, okay. We're talking about a weekend project then.
Yeah,
he's not wrong.
I know he's not wrong, but I have to have both A, the time, and B, the expendable income at the moment to do so, because I'm not willing to front all of it at the moment.
It's awfully bold of you to assume I won't just do it for you.
Fuck you.
Man, great friends are hard to come by these days.
This is true. This is true. So circling back a little bit, we're going to kind of work into your story and stuff like that. Starting with your crew cab truck, because to my understanding, your crew cab truck was the start of your addiction, right?
It was the start of this downhill slide I am on, yes.
Okay. So why 6 liters? Why that truck? What's been done to it? Let's work forward from there.
Well, 16-year-old Austin didn't know dick about anything diesel-related.
Checks
didn't
out.
Didn't know what I wanted to do in life. The neighbor was he's an ag mechanic still from McAllister. You know, nice ag department that's dying there slowly. I went on a job shadow with him one day, kind of fell in love with big equipment. I was 14-year-old Austin. Then come around to, like, that sophomore year of high school, dad and mom went and bought a fucking camper. And they're like, well, we need a truck to pull this with. And all I ever heard was, like, don't get 6 liters. Well, they were affordable at the time, so dad bought a crew cab short bed 6 liter.
Okay.
And they moved the camper one time and just started buying year leases for their camping spot, so it never moved again. So the truck just sat there, and I was like, fuck it, big truck, cool, I'll drive this thing.
Checked
out. Started driving it back to Fort School, and then I was like, sorry, you know, you just start researching more shit. I'm like, man, people do cool things with diesels. Then I put a tuner on it, 5-inch exhaust, and I thought I was the coolest kid out there. All I cared about was rolling coal, like a little fucking dumbass.
Everyone goes through that.
Oh, I know. I was like looking up how to make smoke switches for the fucking shut the vanes in the turbo and stuff. Just idiot thing looking back now. And then it popped the head gasket, and I was like, oh, shit, I don't know how to do this. So it went to a shop. And I became friends with, like, the lead mechanic at the time, which was Marshall Campbell, for Aladdin Performance. He starts kind of showing me some stuff and whatnot. Well, it kind of worked like that for, like, 2 years. He put a little bit bigger turbo, VGZ turbo still on it for me. We put, like, 190-30 injectors in it. It made, like, 500 horsepower, and I thought it was a fucking rocket ship.
Fuck yeah.
Like, a year into this, they were like, come to the track. So we went to Muncie Dragway. It's like tested two night, and they're like, go make a fucking pass. I'm like, I don't want to make a pass. I don't want to break this thing. I was like, at this point, I realized, like, hey, transmissions do break. You know, I'm starting to learn this shit here. So I tried making a pass in two-wheel drive and did like a 400-foot burnout like an idiot. It was the that thing went 15 seconds, and I was like, oh my God, it's a rocket, guys. We were hauling the mail. And they're like, put it in four-wheel drive. And it went like 14.7 in the quarter mile, and I was like, oh, God, this is amazing.
It's a race car.
Yeah, this fucking 8,000-pound truck is shitting and getting, boys. So then senior year, I elected to stay home for spring break. Well, mom and dad, Devin, my little brother, they all flew off. Dad had a lift in his shop and stuff, and I'm like, man, it's time to step my game up. So I went ahead and, you know, YouTube how to pull a cab off. It took me like 6 hours, and I pulled the cab. My dad's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I really don't know where this is going, but just ride with me on this deal. We'll figure it out. So I put 250 100s in it, went to a T4 kit, put a 363 on it. No, a 366 SXE drop and board turbo. I thought that was the coolest fucking thing ever at the time. Again, while I'm doing this, is just gaining knowledge.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The drop-in box turbo that I thought was the coolest thing out there, looking back, I'm like, wow. real special.
This fucking guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Went back to the track, and the thing went low 12s, and they were like, hey, dumbass, you can't be doing this in a street truck. Like, you're going fast enough now in the quarter mile, it needs to have, like, a roll bar, or, like, start thinking about some safety shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, yeah. Fuck. Like, I don't want to cut this truck up. Like, I don't want to put a cage in this thing. I'm going to go get girls in this thing. Turns out, race truck don't attract females. Fucking, so my dad, being the cool dude he is, we were sitting in the shop one night, he's half lit, and he's like, what happens if we just go buy a single cab? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like one of the piece of shit XL trucks or something. And I'm like, and you're saying I can just cut it the fuck up? He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, hell yeah. So we started looking for this. And at the time, Shide was getting ready to happen. I drug my dad and grandpa to Shide.
Badass.
That was when it was still in Terre Haute. So it was a shit show.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw Chase Lunsford go like 540s. And he thought it was the coolest fucking thing ever. Because like they're gearheads, but they're like hot rod guys. They're not diesel guys.
Right. Yeah.
So he did that. And we came home. And he said, we're doing it. He fucking bought me a... It was a state highway fucking truck from Kansas. We had it like hot shot it over to the house and stuff. And before I bought it, like FaceTime videos looking at a 6 liter. Still not my smartest move ever, but I was intelligent enough to tell the guy, like, hey, like, I want a written warranty or something. He's like, I'll give you a 100-mile warranty. I drove this thing 40 miles and it was literally spraying so much coolant out, I couldn't make it home.
Oh my God.
I was like, holy fuck. So I called the guy and he gave me like, we paid $6,000 for this truck. He gave me $4,500 back.
Wow. Like, no shit.
And that truck is still the Pro Street truck I have now. Well, the little bit that's left of it. But so, I mean, at that point we started racing 670 and I raced 3 years of that. And then 590 index got introduced. I raced 2 years of that. And now it's a Pro Street truck, and I'm trying to battle 3,000 horsepower Cummins.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, it's fucking... I'm a genius. That's all there is to it now.
How is it battling them 3,000 horsepower Cummins trucks?
Man, to be honest with you, the way this shit is now, it is... My 6 liter is closer to a 12 valve than it is a fucking... any kind of race truck. These guys got Motec or Bosch standalone stuff from Extra G. They're over here like, yeah, it gets 100 feet out and wants to spin the tire. So we pull a little bit of fuel there and stuff. I'm like, huh. And they're like, what do you do? I'm like, well, I got this little regulator. When I got a wide open throttle, it just shuts and commands max ICP. And whatever you got, it's what you got. So yeah. Just use a little bit of nitrous to control that. And yeah. And they're like, what the, like, they look at you like you're stupid. And I'm like, yeah, it's fucking, it's a mechanical truck at this point. Just forget about it.
I actually had never thought about it that way.
I haven't either.
I agree. I mean, think of like a pump going to full rack. I mean, that's basically what we're doing.
Once that
IPR slams shut and the mechanical regulator is just...
It's just full force.
Yeah.
I'd never thought about it like that. Yeah, because you're battling... Common rail Cummins and Duramaxes and stuff like that.
It's all common rail stuff. You're battling computers.
Yeah, and you're still on a oil fire injection system.
Oh yeah.
And you're
oh, yeah. you let a fucking the oil get 20 degrees hotter, and all of a sudden you lose 400 horsepower.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. Sucks. Fucking sucks. So what is done to this Pro Street truck? Yeah, how mad is it?
Yeah, that was about the answer I expected, too.
So, we'll go with what's left that came from Ford. Okay. There's 14 feet of frame left, the two frame rails that have a lot of chromoly welded to them, and the cab shell.
That's all that's left from Ford.
In the block, but yeah.
Not even a Ford block.
I mean, it's still got a Ford block in it. Still got a 6-liter block for now. When Jesse gets the billet stuff rolling better, we'll put a billet block in there so I can quit splitting blocks every two passes.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, I mean, it's fiberglass front clip, fiberglass doors, fiberglass bedsides. All the windows are Lexan. It's currently in Ohio right now, getting 9-inch axles put in it, like fabricated nines with third members and shit. It's all four linked.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, then it's just got a bunch of bars everywhere because it's a 25-6 cert truck to go, so we can go faster than 530.
Jesus and, fucking H Christ.
Yeah. That's about. I mean, it's a little go kart when you take all the body panels off of it.
Well, yeah, that's fair. It's a big ass fucking go kart.
Well, I say it's a big ass. You're right. It's a big ass go kart. Then when I take the body panels off the Pro Mod sitting next to it, that's a fucking go kart.
Yeah, yeah, that's a that fucking go kart.
No doubt.
That thing's fucking. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's where we're at, man. You know, hey, I'm. Still trying to do it. I mean, we have beat the 3,000 horsepower. I mean, I'm still the only person to ever beat Justin Ziegler in Pro Street, amazingly, with a 6-liter. He still gets fucking pissed off about it.
That's an impressive feat.
I don't know. I bet a bunch of connecting rods when I did it, though.
But you did it.
But you did it.
Yeah, that's very true. We got a cool trophy out of that deal. That was nice.
Justin Ziegler. I like Justin, but... That's funny. That's still so funny.
Yeah, so, I mean, we got that truck. It's got a track calculated power around 2,300 horsepower. Getting back to my crew cab, it's still been like a little labor of love of mine. I've never gotten rid of that truck. It's still sitting in my shop. Now it's got compounds hanging on it and three kits of nitrous, and it makes like 1,400 horsepower. And I'm still a street truck, still... fill the cab up with buddies and go fuck off in Indy all night.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, we end up at RPM a couple Saturdays a month, usually just hanging out with all those gas guys and all their fucking GTRs and shit. It's a good fucking time. Nobody expects an 8,000-pound truck to be fast.
Right. But that's the fun part of it.
Oh, that's the fucking blast. Especially when you get older guys have like Corvettes and shit. And you're just dog walking them like at will, and they're just pissed off. Usually.
Oh yeah, they're just pissed because they got drugged by a fucking 8,000-pound pickup truck.
Oh, fuck yeah.
That's half the appeal of fast diesels to me.
Oh, that was one of the other things that got me hooked was literally there's an older gentleman in a Corvette running like 14-second quarters at the time, and I was running, you know, high 11s, low 12s, and I fucking dog walked him, and he just the look on his face at the end of the track when we're turning off was like, what the fuck just happened? But
yeah,
just
got your fucking brakes knocked off by a stupid fucking crew cab.
It's fucking, yeah. I used to look goofy going on a track, though, dude. I didn't have the money back then. I was working at Dollar General, stocking shells through high school. I went and bought some, like, I was like, man, I can't. I have mud tires, but I can't go to the track with these. These ain't gonna fucking work. Went and bought some like you said a 22x8s or some shit,
mm-hmm.
And got some old proxies. The thing looks so fucking goofy going down the track. There's still videos on my Instagram from it. I'm just like, what the fuck was I doing back then?
Having fun.
I was having fun. I would almost say I was having more fun back then than I do now.
Right.
The faster and faster you go, the bigger their operation gets, and the more and more fucking headache it is.
I don't doubt that one bit.
Like, back in the day with the crew cab, fuck, throw the wheel, change the wheels and tires at the house, drive it to the track, race it. If it didn't break, drive it home. Don't worry about it. Fucking go get ice cream in it or not. Now I go to the track and it's fucking 50-foot trailer. Has to have a side-by-side to push the truck around. 40 fucking fans for after a pass. Can't go to the track unless I got 30 pounds of ice for the intercooler. It's fucking whole operation now. Nightmare.
Still having fun, though.
Dude, there's no better feeling than letting off the brake in that thing and just hearing going. Weird noises and shit.
Fuck you.
I make 6 liters make noises I don't feel like they're supposed to make. Like, you're not supposed to be making 120 pounds of boost and let the converter lock and pull the thing down to 2,400 RPM.
Sure you are.
It pulls like a freight train, but, man, it's just grunting. It's fucking weird feeling. A little bomb next to your leg.
A little bomb next to your leg.
That's what it feels like, man. You're just waiting for something to come through the floor and fucking bite you.
What are you running for transmissions?
It's got a 4R in it now, built by Justin Flatford, down in Alexandria.
Okay.
I ran the 5R for the longest time and set the record for the fastest 5R. I don't think anybody's came close to it. I went like 540s with it. But it was just getting to the point where literally we were having to pull clutches out of it after every pass. It was just annoying. It was finally time to make the switch. And we went to the 4R, and that thing is going to fucking tank.
Okay.
But
that's something I didn't know. I always thought the 5R was more stout than the 4R.
The 5R is, it's the way they shift that ruins the 5R. I always burn up direct clutch, but the way they, it's like a 4R shifts like kind of more like a race car transmission where it just keeps stacking clutch packs.
Yeah.
Changing the gears. A 5R does some funky shit. It's just because it's too smart for its own good, too. The computer system, trying to tune it with the normal computer is miserable.
Sure.
But that makes sense. When it wants to go to shift, it unapplies a clutch, applies a clutch, then tries to reapply the clutch again.
Like an Allison.
So you're constantly slipping shit. And it ends up just burning stuff up way too fast.
Not like Dakota's shaking his head at me. Not like an Allison. Am I wrong?
Yeah, but no.
I don't know Allison stuff.
Allison,
I'm very poor dedicated.
Yeah.
But you end up just, there's that, and then the shift timing, like, it has a mind of its own because it's constantly learning, has learning strategies, and you can turn them off, and it still fucking doesn't want to do it sometimes. So, like, you can't get very consistent at anything. But yet, you put a PCS on a 4R, and that bitch will do exactly what you tell it to do when you tell it to do it.
Fuck, okay. Noted. Now,
is there not a full manual valve body option, like, for a 5R?
No.
Yeah. Oh. I looked.
There is not even. People technically don't even make ratchet shifters for 5Rs.
No. I looked into that forever ago.
For drag racing, at a certain point, you have to have a. It's very fucking stupid because a column shifter is this. You have to have a reverse neutral lockout shifter.
Oh, that's neat.
Where basically you can't go into reverse or anything. Well, guess what? A stock column shifter, you have to pull back on it. It basically has a lock to not allow it to go into reverse.
Mm-hmm.
But the tech will argue about it. So they were, when we went to race in 670, they're like, you can't have a column shifter. I'm like, what the fuck? Why? Like, the Dodge guys did it, and it's like, you can't. And that was one of the things that blew his tank over. And I looked all over for this fucking ratchet shifter shit, which it wasn't like a big craze because this was 10 years ago. Like, people weren't doing the full manual valve body yet.
Right.
Which, to be honest with you, I still fucking will die on a post. I think full manual valve bodies are the dumbest thing ever.
I can go either way on them.
Unless it has an air shifter on it and you're not shifting it. Because I promise you, you are not consistently shifting it if you want to be fast.
That I agree with. I agree with that. That I do agree with.
Everybody thinks it's a mod. They're like, I got a full manual valve body. I'm like, cool. Has it got a fucking CO2 system or a nitrous system to shift it? No, I just smack the shifter and do that. And I'm like, man, so you miss shifts all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? If you want a manual, go buy a manual.
So the only thing, one of the things I think full manual valve bodies are cool for, and it's probably one of the only things I think they're cool for, is roasting the tires off the stop sign and smacking limiter a bunch of times in second gear and then grabbing third.
Grabbing the next, yeah.
Well, I mean,
that's it.
That is cool.
That's cool.
But you're fucking Evan. I wish he was here. He'd be yelling at me, my roommate. I'm a grandpa anymore. I look at people that go to some of these meets and do burnouts all day,
mm-hmm.
and all I can think about is, well, you guys are mechanically inclined. You probably are just like, these are just roasting their main bearings for no fucking benefit at all. They're just tracking this truck for nothing. Like, what are you gaining? The appeal of a couple people looking at you?
Hell yeah, man. You get clout.
Bro, I can't give $2 less about anyone. There was a guy at Fitzgerald popped a tire and destroyed this newer 1500 truck.
Okay.
Like, nice truck. He got out drunk as fuck, apparently.
Oh.
Explained a lot. I'm sure he was really happy the next morning because I'm talking bedside blown off the truck.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, this was like a 2020 plus truck too. And I'm just like, man, cool. These people just cheered for you, but they don't even know who you are or give two fucks about you.
Right.
And now you got wrecked shit.
Yeah, like, cool. nor will they ever know who he is.
Exactly. That's why I've always, like, I always see people get all this recognition for doing burnouts. It is cool. And I will watch burnouts all day. I'm not, like, against burnouts. I'm not fully against them. I'm not going to do my own shit. If you try to tell me to do a burnout in the crew cab and look at you like you're stupid. I have a very expensive built engine and stuff. Why am I going to go do a burnout that gains nothing? But I just don't get them sometimes, man. Maybe I'm just that fucking old anymore. I mean, I'm almost 30, but, like, just wrecking your shit.
I was going to say, Austin, how old are you?
I'm 29, man. I'm old for my age. I've been doing this shit too long.
Oh, fuck, man. I'm 23.
Yeah, I know, buddy. You're going to get there before I... You're going to get there sooner than I did, I promise you. I already sense it. You're already second-guessing everything you've done in life.
Yeah? Yeah, I am.
Fucking back's already hurting every morning, and you're like, man, all the old guys said this would happen, but I didn't think it was going to happen this quick.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's funny you bring that up.
Yeah. Yeah, Dakota, go ahead and tell Austin what you literally just did like an hour ago.
I've been telling this guy for the last year that his hands are going to start hurting. They're going to start hurting real good. Hey, I'd take one of those things.
And he goes, oh, no, they won't. No. No, my hands will be fine. He keeps denying it. We're sitting here tonight, and I look over, and he's like, he's doing the same thing I do with my hands all the time.
Oh, like, right. I stretch them, kind of.
Yeah.
It's like a squeezing motion, just trying to get the feeling back.
Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I looked at him, and I said, I told you so, and he goes, no, shut the fuck up!
Nah, the first time it happens when the hand just goes to sleep all of a sudden or goes numb and you're just like, what the fuck's going on? It's like, instantly you kind of think about it for a little bit. It's like, oh, them old fuckers were telling me about this.
Uh-huh.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I bet I've been telling you. I bet it's been the last year.
Yeah.
Your hands are going to start to go.
Well, and I need to stop jumping out of cab overs, like straight out of the cab.
Oh,
and right...
dude, with boots on and stuff, you just start getting, the more you do it, you feel that shock go all the way up your spine. You're like, huh, that's not good.
Well, and I'm even worse about it because I don't even do it in boots. I do it in vans.
No, yeah, you're doing it in the Flamer vans even.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there's no cushion there at all.
Is that you Jesus. Saying you're gay? Is that why they're flaming?
No, it's because I'm so fast.
Dude, I'm going to get you a set of lights for those motherfuckers.
A set of what?
Lights.
Lights?
Yeah. Like, emergency lights are so fast.
When was the last time you actually ran?
When was the last time I actually ran?
Oh, fuck, here we go.
Yes.
He's the track star of the county, don't you know?
I don't know.
What do you mean I'm the track star of the county?
Oh, we're going to have a foot race down to the landmark.
Okay, so what Dakota's talking about is is me and my buddy, or my coworker now, Nate, have had this bet going back and forth.
Keep in mind, I wasn't included because I'm fat.
Yeah. I think this bet's been going on for like 2 years, and neither one of us are willing to go through with it, but we will do it if we have to. There's this bar, like it's like 2 or 3 turns away. It's not even 2 miles.
No.
It's not even 2 miles. But we're like, we argued like two summers ago or something like that, that one of us could run better than the other one. And, well, we were going to settle who could run better than the other one by running to the bar. And whoever beat the other one there got a free tab and the other one paid it. And neither one of us have done it.
Hey, man, you can pick me up about 200 yards out of the shop because I'm going to need the oxygen machine and everything. I'm going to be on the We went and played. Evan drugged me. He's like, hey, you want to go play basketball? I'm like, hey, fuck yeah, sure. That sounds like a good time. Man, I ran up and down the court twice. I was like, hey, sub. Get somebody in here, guys. Not doing well.
Yeah, see, and I'm probably even 10
Give
times.
Give me a fucking AED. I'm going down.
I'm probably even 10 times worse than that because I smoke like a fucking freight train.
I mean, it might. Hey, your lungs just might be more tough. They might be okay. You might make it.
Yeah, they're seasoned.
Yeah, actually, I had an old fucker tell me one time that I should keep smoking because that's what keeps my lungs strong.
I don't think that's how that works.
I don't think that's how it works either, but that's what I've been told.
So answer the question, though. Would you try to run the 2 miles while smoking the cig?
That was actually part of the deal at one point.
Was it?
Yeah, he was like, I'm going to fucking smoke all the way down there.
I was 100% drunk when I said that.
He was sober.
I was not sober when I said that.
I'm going to fucking run down there with a cigarette in my mouth. You do you, girl.
Oh, my God. Hey, what's up with your guys' problem with differentials lately?
Austin, do not get me started.
Do you not work in a shop?
I do, but I think you okay. So here, you guys are like tearing these fuckers apart.
Hear me out. Things come in spurts, and that's something we've covered on this podcast time and time again.
Yeah, right.
It'll be differentials for a couple weeks, and then it'll be something else for a couple weeks, and then it'll be something else for a couple weeks.
What's that?
Is it just that time and, like, they're wearing out, or is this driver abuse?
I can't... Yes.
Take your pick.
Yes and no. I have one in the shop right now that is simply just, it was wore out, and the power divider was going out, the gears bound up in it, it broke the snout of the differential
behind you.
Yeah, it broke the snout.
Oh, that guy's pissed.
Yeah, that thing's fucking mad.
Stupid.
There's
Sterling.
Another one in here right now that came in for a cracked axle housing on both sides, ended up also getting a diff, ended up also getting S-cams and bushings
It's getting a whole new axle.
Another one needed the whole steer axle redone totally.
Dead too. Hey, man, I forgot the guy's still sitting over there.
Yeah, and I have that knuckle sent off to another company right now to bore it, ream it, bush it, and send it back to me. And then we have a tag axle down right now. Then... on top of that, last week I had another tag axle come in on a dump truck that all of the bushings are loose. I can take the fucking tag axle and move it 6 inches back and then from the center point, move it 6 inches forward again.
No, that's normal.
And then on top of that, he came in because he thought that, oh, it's just a service chamber on that tag axle like every other one. He thought that he just blew the pancake out and the top of it came off. No. No, the S-cam tube broke in half, and it did a 180.
Oh, my God.
No, they're designed to do that. It's fine.
Designed
to do that.
This is bullshit. It's everything suspension, everything
Well,
everything
before
axle.
That, the last damn near month has been walking beams.
Yeah, I did a set of walking beams. I helped Nate do a set of walking beams in two different styles. One was a fucking crane. What the fuck?
The most underpowered crane on the face of the planet.
Yeah, the most underpowered crane on the face. A fucking DT-466 that this shop swapped into that motherfucker when they took out the 6V71 back in the fucking 90s. By the way, you have to take the DT-466 out of the crane to do anything to it, whether that's a clutch, transmission, rear main, anything front cover related, anything oil leak wise, or unless it's on the side of the motor, you have to take the motherfucker out because it's such a tight fit. Taking the radiator out, impossible. Pull the motor.
Oh my god.
I am so not kidding. That's how stupid that crane is.
And it's underpowered.
This is why I'm so glad I made the decision. There's only two guys that work in our shop. We work for County Materials. They build like concrete underground structures and shit.
Okay.
We just have like a bunch of old, they're not old, like Taylor forklifts and stuff, like big 40,000 pound forklifts and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have like a fleet of, at our location, probably 20 semis and like 80 trailers. Okay. Alex takes mainly care of the semis and trailers. And I was like, buddy, I'll just take care of the hydraulics. And we got a couple cat loaders and stuff because I came from working McAllister. I was like, dude, I don't want to fuck with on-road trucks. These things are miserable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it can be pretty miserable. I'll tell you. Yeah. That's not to anybody listening. That's not to steer you away from working on-road trucks.
Don't do it. It's stupid.
Shut up.
I was going to say, I'm going to steer them away. Avoid them.
Actually, just don't pick up wrenching as a whole. It's stupid.
Don't do that. Don't, no.
Hey, everything we've been describing about our hands hurting and shit, and we're in our 20s.
Yeah, literally. Literally. Austin is almost ready to get out of his 20s, and his hands hurt 5 years ago.
Dude,
oh, I'm
hurt.
25, and my hands started hurting right now when yours did.
Hey, when I left McAllister from working on heavy equipment, I thought I was giving myself, like, I was like, oh, yeah, the stuff's smaller. No, that means you just have to put your hand in more weird situations.
Yep,
and spots,
yep.
And it just fucking makes it 10 times worse. Like, when you're trying to thread that nut on, and it's in a terrible spot, your hand starts to cramp up, and you're like, no, it's almost there. I could fucking get it on. Just ruin it and shit.
I don't know. No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I hate doing dash work and anything because everything is so small and it makes my fingers come closer together and it makes my muscles hurt harder.
Yeah.
Dude, it's terrible.
Like that, and that's half the reason I hate using quarter inch like drive shit is because I have to, it's also small.
That's why I hate using manual tools in general. If I can't get an impact on it, I'm questioning doing it.
Well, and I do the same fucking
thing.
The
fuck you do?
What do you mean I...
manual labor-ass motherfucker.
I have, like, fucking 5 impacts.
Yep. And every time I come in here and grab a power tool, you're like, well, what the fuck are you doing? Why don't you use like a wrench? Fuck you!
I have 1, 2, 3, 3/8 impacts, 2 half-inch impacts, and a 3/4... Yeah, so I have 6.
Great. Cookie or a brownie badge?
Probably a brownie badge. I've had enough.
I only have cookies.
Fuck you!
Holy fuck.
This is bullshit.
That's the thing I hate. Hey, I will say this, though. At least the ratchets have revolutionized and Snap-on, you know, has got, like, their fucking 130-tooth head or something. I go to my dad's house. He's still, like, diehard craftsman from, like, the 90s. I'm fucking using his 3/8 ratchet. It's got, like, 12 teeth in the whole fucking thing.
Oh, my God.
Maybe 3 inches to get it to, like, click.
Dude, Jesse bought 2 Snap-on ratchets the other day for $100.
Okay?
From the 90s.
Oh.
The old 90s, like, 2-tooth ratchets.
Oh, my God.
He's so fucking for real right now.
Those fucking old school guys from the 70s and shit. Props to them.
Right.
I don't know. He bought one of those new 100-tooth ratchets, too, and it's kind of ass. I don't care for it.
The
only thing that makes me nervous with that is, like, when you get the big half-inch, like, the 30-inch long fucking half-inch ratchet, and it's got all those teeth, I'm like, how strong is this thing, really? Like,
you
am
know,
I going to break my face on something?
I have a 2-foot, 2 or 3-foot ratchet, half-inch drive that is one of the 80-tooth ones. That ratchet has done things it should never have done. And this, I have never had it rebuilt. And I've had it for almost 7 years.
Has it ever skipped a tooth, scared the fuck out of you?
No.
Oh.
Really? Mine skips teeth sometimes.
Great, get it rebuilt.
Well, I also put a 3/4 impact
also,
on the other side of it.
When the stupid thing starts backing out that holds the head on, tell Greg and he won't fix it right. So...
Yeah, my half-inch 30-inch long ratchet started skipping teeth when I put a 3/4-inch impact on the my Mac Tools 3/4 impact.
That guy's mad.
Yeah, that's which is, I think, if not the second hardest hitting impact on the market.
I have one at the shop.
Yeah,
I
that guy's pretty fucking mad.
He's pretty mad.
Yeah, it'll skip teeth then.
Jesus, just abusing it.
I love that fucking, I love that Mac Tools 3/4 impact to death. We had a cat head gasket come in, and our old head took his 3/4 to it, and he's got an older 3/4, and it normally takes head bolts out kind of okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But his was just hammering and hammering and hammering. Wouldn't touch it. Wouldn't fucking touch it, didn't give a shit, and it is never, he says to this day, until that moment, it had never not taken a head bolt out. And I come over with my Mac, and it goes, ow!
I've been on the other end receiving end of this. When fucking, I have a Blue Point 3/4. Mm-hmm. Bought it when I first started wrenching. And everybody fucking was all on the everything else. Fucking old guy with his fucking Snap-on. He's like, Blue Point Snap-on aren't the same. Man, there was one day he fucking got me. He came over with his half-inch, and it fucking took something out. I was like, what the fuck? Came out the fucking, like, the hammer or whatever inside the impact was blown out my Blue Point. Still very fucking feel defeated. Walk over your toolbox and your tail between your legs like, man, my shit's junk.
I had that same sort of experience it's been more than a couple weeks ago, but I ran a Mac air hammer because I've never been impressed with Snap-on impacts. I've always been more impressed with Mac impacts, so I bought a Mac air hammer. And I ran that Mac air hammer for like 2 years and never had a problem with it. Never found something that couldn't move. And I came to a, so King pins, they have two set pins or one set pin or whatever. And I came to one of those and I started air hammering on it and I could not get the motherfucker to move. I drilled it out, I heated it up, I beat the fuck out of it, it didn't care.
Yep.
And then my boss comes over with his Snap-on air hammer that is, at this moment, probably 15 years old, and just goes, ow, and it just pops right out. And I was so fucking mad, I went and bought a Snap.
Just tell me I'm right.
Tell me I was right. I loosened that shit up for you.
Yeah, exactly. I loosened that shit up for you.
Just tell me I was right. Get it on the record.
What do you mean? When did
How long have I been telling you to buy a Snap-on fucking air hammer?
When did you tell me that?
Like, every time I talk shit about your Mac, because it wasn't a Snap-on.
You talk shit about my Mac because it wasn't a Snap-on, not because it wasn't powerful. Now my Mac air hammer is a
piece of shit.
Is a needler.
Piece of shit to begin with.
Hey, I've been thinking about this. When you snap me, you never told me, how does the fucking needle scaler on an impact or an air hammer work?
So, a needle scaler and a air hammer internally are essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
But an air hammer has a longer throw and a more powerful hit.
Okay.
So with that,
good.
With that being said, I proceeded to not read the instructions on the needler instructions, like the needler attachment.
Yeah.
And it was like, you should probably only run your air tools at about 90 PSI.
Oh, no, the shop's probably like 120.
Oh, no, this shop runs close to 200 PSI.
Oh, fuck. You guys got the good hit impacts, really, then.
Oh, yeah.
Shine.
Yeah. We don't fuck around here. So I load this motherfucking needler up onto this Mac air hammer, and I hit the air to it, and this thing fucks. It fucks super hard. There was nothing it couldn't scale for, like, about 30 minutes.
And then you blew it out.
And then I broke two needles and scarred up the inside of the fucking needler attachment, and I was like, yeah, we should probably put a regulator on this, shouldn't we?
Oh my god.
So I put a ball valve.
Really nice projectiles.
What'd you say?
But that's when the really nice projectiles go across the shop and shit.
Oh yeah.
Guts out of it.
Yeah, I took the fucking needler attachment out and ripped the needler all the way apart. Took an air sander into the center of it and, like, got the scarring out of it and everything. Shoved a bunch of grease in there, took the broken needles out. I only had two broke needles, so I wasn't super concerned about it. Put it all back together and then put a ball valve on it and cracked it at about half throttle. Fine. It's fine.
I love how you said we should put a regulator on this. Instead, you're like, oh, I'll just gauge the fucking ball valve. Fuck
actually. Well, yeah. How are you supposed to do it?
I did. It's like everything else I do. I just eyeball it.
Yeah.
After we're done with this, I need to send you a TikTok that I made forever ago. Oh, it wasn't forever ago. It was last year. But somebody fucking got on my ass. I was going through this motor that I tore down and stuff like that, and I was explaining, like, how I got to where I got with it and stuff like that. And somebody was like, well, how did you justify taking the head off? Or how did you justify replacing... No, how did you justify taking liners and pistons out of the thing and this, that, and the other when the head could have been the problem? And I showed pictures of this fucking... I mean, it's just fucking scored to fuck, this liner and this motor. And I was like, I don't know. I guess I just fucking eyeballed it. Like, here is this fucking huge scratch. I mean, I could catch 50% of my nail in the motherfucker.
Yeah.
I guess I just eyeballed it. No wonder this thing eats fucking 2 gallons of oil a week.
Jesus Christ. There's a reason. I tried doing it once on TikTok, making like a time-lapse video of me working or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was literally us putting the top end back together on the race truck. And I quickly realized that the only thing we actually torque on the fucking thing is the damn head studs.
Well, that's normal.
And I was like, but in my head, I was like, man, we probably shouldn't put this on TikTok because people are just going to judge the fuck out of us. I don't really care if they judge us. I'm just going to get really argumentative and be a dick.
Right.
When they keep telling me I'm doing everything wrong. If you can do it better than me, go do it.
Well, that's how I think about 90% of things, to be honest.
No. It just fucking cracks me up. I don't know how you deal with it sometimes with your giant fucking TikTok following.
Oh, no. No, not me. That's your boy Goose.
No. Sorry, your voice is... This might be an insult. Your voices sound similar at times.
Yeah, it happens. So don't ever compare me to a piece of shit again.
Oh, fuck. But no, it just... Everybody's got to be... Everybody's really smart behind the keyboard until they get put in a situation to actually do this shit. And then, yeah.
Well, yeah. Most of the people that are saying you did it wrong couldn't do it to begin with.
It's very, very fucking true. So everybody gives me shit for running an S500. Because back in the day, they kind of got a bad name, I guess. Of not moving air or being that efficient.
Okay.
But the atmospheric turbo on the Pro Street truck fucks. Like,
I think S500s are badass.
In a big truck application, yeah, but everybody on the little
stuff... No, I don't care about big trucks. I care about little tiny pickup motors with getting fucked with an S500.
Yeah, it's very entertaining to have a little 6-liter sitting on an engine stand. There's a 94mm turbo sitting next to it.
Yeah.
Because they're almost similar, like, looking in size when you step back far enough. But, yeah, I mean...
Yeah, maybe from the next county over.
Yeah, they're not supposed to take 155 pounds of boost, but...
Sure they are.
That's what I'm able to do with it, so... Obviously, it fucking works enough, but like I said, everybody thinks they're smarter than everybody, and if you want... I've tried to tell so many people how to do shit. Okay, tell me this. You guys ever given advice to somebody? Like, they ask you for advice, you give them advice, and then they want to argue with why your advice is wrong?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like, daily.
Yeah. Doesn't it really piss you off? Like, oh, if you fucking know the answer, why are you asking me?
I literally did that earlier today.
Yeah, almost every day.
I get people doing that stuff. They're like, I want to do this. I'm like, it's not really possible, but you can try it and do it this way. I've already tried it and it didn't work. Well, I don't get why it didn't work. I'm like, man, I don't know what to tell you. I'm just telling you it didn't work for me. But
yeah, waste your own damn money then.
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to help you. Like, the people that have a 6-liter, they're like, I want to street an S480. And I'm like, do you want to street an S480 or do you want to have a truck that you actually enjoy to drive?
That's fair.
Like, those are two very different things. Here.
Like, you can street an S480. It's going to be a smoky pig and it's never going to light until you're really fucking on it. And then you're going to look behind you. And if you were somewhat reasonably intelligent with the diesel community and how things have been going lately, you're going to really question why you just took this whole road out and pissed a bunch of people off.
Yep.
That is the other thing I'm a big proponent against. we can just start on things that make me sound like an old man. If you're out there just blowing smoke over everybody anymore, you're an idiot.
Well, yeah,
I will stand on that. I will die on that post. I don't care.
I will too.
Nobody likes mile-long smoke shows anymore. It's long gone.
No. But the more, like when, like I said, when I was younger and dumb, yeah, mm-hmm. I thought it was cool. Now I'm just like, what
we
are you
all
doing?
Did.
It's just it's unused horsepower. You're not burning all the fuel.
Nope.
Like,
one of the coolest things to me is a diesel pickup that'll crack off like 2K, 2500, and burn it clean.
And it's clean.
Josh McCormick.
Yep.
Beat me at Hub City on the dyno. In the truck, I kid you not, it never looked like he got past a haze. I was like, good Lord. I mean, it's just fucking stupid.
Yeah, I'm all about that. I'm all about clean power.
But that's the thing people don't understand. Like, just, yeah. You can't, a 6 liter, okay, I'm very good friends with Landon Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys aware of who that is?
Yeah.
Okay. Truck makes 1,800 horsepower. His does. It has a deck plate and forcer engine in it.
Okay, yeah.
And an astronomically large set of compounds. Well, guess what? His brother's Levant.
Yeah.
The thing is tuned perfectly, and it barely goes past the haze, and we can street drive it everywhere, and he pulls a gooseneck with it. You can't do that with a 6 liter.
Nope. Oh, no, you never will.
Don't call me trying to tell me you want to do this with a 6 liter. I'm probably sounding like a grumpy old guy, and nobody's going to want to talk to me anymore. But just, you can't do it, guys. I'm sorry. Trust me, I want to be able to do it, too. I get jealous of those guys, too. But whatever. My crew cab's not enjoyable to drive on the street.
No,
it's
not.
It's really not.
Not just cruising around town, getting
yeah,
groceries.
Stoplight to stoplight.
Oh, yeah, you stop at a stoplight and old grandma over her fucking Dodge Caravan's going gap your ass if you're trying to be intelligent and not blow all of fucking Olio Road out. Like, if I want to stand on it, yeah, that's what I'd like to charge us quick, but we're going to be fucking looking like a super stock truck pulling off the line for no reason. So, I mean, yeah. You want to try to catch me at a stoplight, I'm going to let you beat me. It's fine. Let's go play on the interstate a little bit.
Right.
Where I can get this thing rolling.
Yeah, I'm not, as far as this mile-long smoke shows and stuff go, I mean, I remember being 16 years old. And my
it was cool then.
Yeah, my buddy bought an LLY, and it had some ridiculous fucking tune on it, and that thing would, like I said, smoke for a mile.
Oh, the old fucking five-position EFI switches, they get the old lope and smoke tune on it.
Oh, it
old
this
had that annoying lope on it, real fast lope.
Yep, this motherfucker had a lope tune on it.
I'm getting annoyed. Oh, it seems like lope tunes are actually making a comeback.
Oh, God, I hope not.
I also hope not.
I hope not, too, but it seems like they are.
I just don't. If you're a fan of the diesel industry and what it used to be and what it could still be, and you're out there doing stuff like that, and like, I was young too. If you're fucking just blowing smoke everywhere, you have to realize that the industry that you like and you're trying to be a part of, you're killing.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only reason we're in the predicament we are now.
Oh, yeah, it's ruining our reputation.
And if nobody knows what the heck we're talking about, we're talking about, like, the EPA and stuff and trying to shut down everything.
Yeah.
Not even that, but it just seems like the everyday people have a general disdain for...
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, go
for diesel stuff.
Go pull 50 random people out of a fucking crowd and ask them what they think of a diesel pickup that's sitting next to them at the light and see what they say. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks, and I hate to be that guy, and... It was funny when Evan moved in with me because he worked for me a little bit, and then it turned into the point that he was working for me so much, I was like, you might as well just be at the fucking house. I have a spare room.
Right.
I'm sending you to Pennsylvania once a fucking week to get me another engine because I'm a dumbass. But, like, when he's comes from more of the show truck type stuff. He's got that red Duramax that you really like, Logan.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I know which truck this is.
So, he came from all the show truck stuff. When he came in, when he moved in, he's like, burnouts are fucking cool. Blowing smoke's cool. He hung out with me he's lived with me probably almost a year now. And I think like 4 months into it, he's like, Yeah, burnouts are kind of fucking dumb unless you're like at the drag strip, heat your tires up. And blowing smoke seems pretty pointless. I'm like, hey, look at that.
Look at this guy.
You're fucking learning.
This guy got some knowledge.
Like, it just don't make any sense to me. I don't know how you watch, like, Firepunk's S10 back in the day, or Stainless's Corvette, or Ben Chatty's Corvette that he used to have.
Oh, I forgot about Stainless and the Corvette.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those things make 3,000 plus horsepower in her, look like a Prius going down the track. Like, it's fucking nuts.
So, big 6-liter guy, how do you feel about 6-liter swaps? Have you done any? Are you doing any? Or are you gonna?
I thought 6-liter swaps were going to take over the world when Jesse came out with a standalone harness. Jesse Warren from WDI.
Uh huh.
Literally, you can buy, okay, like a 12 valve on, like, the YouTube videos you used to look at, a guy starting 12 valves on fucking engine stands and the whole thing shaking and shit.
Yeah.
And, like, running on a little fucking 5-gallon bucket. You can do that with a 6-liter. He makes a standalone harness. You plug in like 4 fucking sensors and hook up a positive and negative, and the thing will run. It's amazing. You can swap a 6-liter into anything. And like, if you just had like a CTS3 or whatever to be a dash and you weren't picky, but we could put a 6-liter in anything anymore. Those fucking harnesses are $800 or something like that.
Oh, wow. That's not bad.
No. Not at all. I thought it was going to take over. I thought people were going to stop doing Cummins swaps. I was like, watch, 6-liters are about to rule the swap world. And it hasn't happened. I want to see it happen.
Well, so on that note, I wonder if, have you heard about the Poor Diesel Challenge yet, Austin?
What is the Poor Diesel Challenge?
So, okay. You'll be at UCC this year, obviously.
We're planning on doing UCC.
Well, yeah, I know you plan on doing UCC. But
another idiot decision.
The Poor Diesel Challenge was started up by Built C-Max, and it's going to be between him, Ron MF Maple, and Tyler. I can't remember Tyler's last name off the top of my head. But it's basically a competition between all of them to see who can build a truck that makes damn good fucking power, like you're 16 years old. They have a burnout competition. They have a drag competition. They have a mileage competition. There's something else.
Dino.
Oh, and Show and Shine. And it's going to be going on during UCC. UCC is going to sanction them being there.
That's badass.
Isn't that? It's fucking cool, dude.
Yeah, and they have like a $10,000 budget?
They have a $10,000 budget per truck. So, with that being said...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, with that being said, Ron is doing a Cummins motor. Robert is doing a... Robert Built C-Max is doing a Duramax.
Yep.
And then Tyler is doing a 6-liter truck, but he put a 6-liter into a first-gen Dodge. And
He's my hero. Huh? I already like this kid. I already like this guy. He's my new hero. me and Johnny Gilbert and Steve and Stainless have become pretty close friends over the years. Uh-huh. And when Johnny put his Pro Street truck up for sale, he's like, you should really buy my chassis and put a 6-liter in just to piss people off. And it was so close to happening.
That would have been fucking cool.
Right.
But I have to almost think that Tyler has to be using that standalone kit. Am I wrong, or?
I mean, if he's not, you can do it with, like, the factory harnesses.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of shit to deal with. But you buy the standalone harness, and it's literally, like, I mean, it's nothing. It's so simple.
Right.
You open the box, and everything's labeled, and you just plug in, like, get a tune from somebody, and you literally only have to plug in, like, 4 or 5 sensors. Like, cam crank, ICP, IPR. An oil tip, I think, is all you really need to make it run.
What about the Fickum?
The Fickum's on the injection harness, and The one plug for the engine harness is already on it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. That checks out.
Like if he needs one, I think I have one where I blew the cam sensor off of where I shot a rod out the block.
This guy.
We can swap one on there.
How many?
But no,
How many blocks have you split?
In the last year or ever?
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 Are we, like, saying when I split the block and everything else was fine inside the block? Or, like, I blew an engine up?
Exit stage okay. Right.
Exit, yeah. How many?
Okay.
How about how many times have you totally junked a motor?
Happened in 590 for the first time. No, it didn't. Happened in 670. One, two, three. So before this year, I think there was four.
You've totally junked four motors.
And then this year, I did four or five.
Holy
shit.
So
10? 10, something like that?
How many blocks have you split and still been able to pull a rotating assembly out of it?
We did four of those this year. Jesus. Depending on where they cracked. If they cracked all the way down the cylinder and I didn't get out of it fast enough, it would usually scorch the piston. So you'd have to slide a piston in it. But, yeah. I would say the way my year started this year, we started making dumb power with... Nobody believes me. My engines are really, really fucking simple. Like, it's still got stock rocker arms in it. I have, like, you know, stage two valve springs or whatever the fuck they are. I mean, it's just 6 liters or aftermarket valve springs or aftermarket valve springs, it seems like. It had just some aftermarket push rods on it from River City. And it has some Wagler rods, and it has Molly forged pistons. Everything else in that thing is still from, well, fuck, we can get real technical from, what, Navistar or whatever it is.
Yeah, from the manufacturer.
Yeah, but I mean, like, other than that, it's stock. Like, it still has a stock crank, it's still stock block, has an aftermarket cam in it, obviously. The heads are still stock castings. Jesse just puts them in his 5-axis and ports them as much as he can before we accidentally run into a coolant jacket. I tell people, I was like, man, you could probably go build my engine for like $8,000. And like, in terms of a 2,000 horsepower engine, that's really fucking cheap.
That's extremely cheap.
Yeah.
So you're not even doing anything like super duper trick.
No, it's getting to the point we need to.
Like, okay.
I had a couple rocker arms split this year. Mm. Just from them not wanting to open into that cylinder pressure.
Okay, yeah, sure.
So, like, going to a Jessel rock valve train is in plans now. But, I mean, we've done this. I'm going into, like, year 10 of doing this. And until we've crested over this 2,000 horsepower mark on the track. I haven't done it on the dyno yet. I intend to get that done soon. But I've done it on the track multiple times. That's when we started fucking sending shit. I think towards the end of the year, is like you make steps in this drag race and stuff. Like once you figure out a little thing, you know, you gain a little bit. Well, then it's like you kind of forgot that you gain it. It's like common knowledge then. Yeah. So you don't think about it. Well, you keep taking these little steps and eventually you gained several steps, which have upped the horsepower monumentally. Well, that's what we did this year. And we finally figured out like just opening our eyes and finding little things here and there. And one of the biggest things was, I don't know why I never thought about this at the time, but I sent my NLX turbo up here to Bullseye to get looked at because it was, you know, it needed inspected. And he's like, hey, you know you still have a fucking 87 turbine wheel on this thing? Like, how's this thing not grenaded? I'm like, I don't know. You guys look at it every fucking winter.
That's a fair point.
It was a problem. So we put a 96 on it, and that opened up. That allowed the engine to breathe a lot better, and it opened up a shit ton of horsepower. But towards the end of the year, in 12 passes, I split 4 blocks.
For fuck's sake. That's a
You'll have that on those big jobs.
That's a block every 3 passes.
Yeah, I know, man.
He's like, yeah, trust me, I lived through it.
Yeah, it was pretty fucking miserable. Jesse got really fucking irritated with me. It turned into a point where, like, the first time it happened, I'm like, oh, well, maybe it was a fluke.
Sure.
And then the second time, like, it made it like 4 or 5 passes. And I was like, huh, well, maybe that was like a casting flaw. Maybe that, this is not like we're getting fucking new blocks. Like, we're pulling blocks out of the junkyard, machining them, you know, cleaning them up, like, you're using what you got. I'm like, oh, maybe that one just had a lot of miles on it. It was just weak. So then we went to concrete filling them. While we're doing this, I'm still adding power. I'm still up in nitrous tune-up. So I'm like, man, it's fine. Then, like, the next one only made it, like, two passes. And I was like, I'm running out of excuses. Maybe we're finally at this power level that everybody told me I was eventually going to run into. Because Jesse ran into this with the super stock pulling truck. Well, that's a fucking 5-inch turbo truck. That's a little different.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet. Yeah, I quickly realized, hey, we're at this fucking point where these cast blocks are telling me to kick rocks now.
So, but what I'm hearing is, like, you're not even using, like, fly-cut pistons or anything like
it
that.
It does. They're Molly Forge racing pistons. They are fly-cut. Yeah.
Okay, they are fly-cut. Okay.
Yeah, the pistons and the rods are, like, those are your high-dollar items in that engine. I mean, you're, like, $5,000 in between those two.
Yeah.
I think rods are, like, $3,000. The pistons are, like, $2,000 or $3,000, maybe. But your cam is $800.
Mm-hmm.
For a stage 3 cam, which is like, I mean, a stage 4, I mean, 3 or 4, they're too fucking similar. They don't make that giant, enormous of a difference.
Yeah.
One, the stage 4 is mainly used for pull trucks. But then you got, I think push rods are like $400 and valve springs are like $500. So I don't know what your total is there, but you find a set of 625 studs and you buy them once and you just keep reusing them. Like, I think the ones in the pro shoot truck have been torqued like 10 or 11 times now.
And they're still fine.
Oh, 300 per pound. Yeah, I don't blow head gaskets. The only time I blow a head gasket is when the fucking block splits.
Well, that's, yeah, that checks out.
It's fucking annoying.
And you gotta be firing in heads, too.
We put two O-rings in the block. And there's one O-ring in the head, and they, like, interlock, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, it's not necessarily a firing with your O-rings, but, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you got to pay attention to what head gasket you use. If you try to throw a Felpro head gasket in there, the O-rings will cut the head gasket. You'll be really fucking shitty when you go to start the truck, and it has no compression.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that sounds like it sucks.
Oh, yeah. You're like, man, the thing's spinning over really fast. What the fuck?
This thing's turning over really fast, he says.
But, I mean, you're still... I look at, like, what these Cummins guys are doing. They're fucking having to custom machine the block, put a girdle in it, and then they're putting a deck plate on top of it. And everything's custom, it seems like. Like, you have to call D&J or... was it like Pine Hill Automotive or people like that and like hope they have stuff on the shelf that they made. Like you get like an Enforcer engine from Drew. It's his pistons. He makes his own pistons.
Yeah.
Like you're just praying that he has a set. If he doesn't have a set, well, his blocksmith don't take those pistons only. So good luck. I have a problem and I'm like, dealership's probably got this. Call fucking Ford and here we go. We're good to go now, guys.
Which is, yeah, that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Pretty nice.
Yeah, like, I try to really keep it as, man, if I can't go to O'Reilly and make some shit work, I don't really want it on my truck. Like, I don't want to be down waiting on somebody for custom shit.
So,
like, when it comes to the Wagler rods, Jeremy, Wagler's only an hour and a half away from me. He's always got sets of 6-liter rods. If for some reason he doesn't, I know Jesse does. Jesse usually keeps several sets of pistons. And we don't, this is only for racetrack shit. We do. I mean, it's not like we're balancing these deals. I mean, they're all standard stuff. So it's already pre-balanced pretty much. We've been swapping pistons back and forth. You know, if you got a set of 7 and it only scorched 1, you're not going to replace the whole fucking set.
No.
But, hey.
Hell, we don't even do that in semis.
Yeah, exactly. But, oh well.
So coming into this season and everything and what's coming up, you got anybody to talk shit at?
Man, I don't have a vehicle that runs right now. So I kind of, if I ain't got nothing that I can't pull out, I try to keep my mouth shut.
That's fair.
I got the crew cab, but the people I want to talk shit to, that thing ain't going to handle it. The Pro Street trucks, the engine's sitting on the stand ready to go. It's over at Austin Dodge's in Ohio getting 9-inch axles finished being swapped into it. And the Pro Mod's at Cody Fish's house getting wastegates fabricated on it and stuff. Because I try to have really nice stuff still. And I've never claimed to be a fabricator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I let other people do that. I put bolts and holes and shit. I'll do that. But when it comes to fabricating shit, it's going to look like some fifth grader's art project with popsicle sticks.
Fucking love, dude. I love you. You're so fucking honest.
Yeah.
100%.
I'm not, hey, I don't fucking, I ain't going to, man, hey, undersell and over deliver. That's what I live by.
Yeah. That checks out. That checks out. It just cracks me up that, like, you know, I'm sure there's 100 people out there. Well, there's more than 100 people. Thousands of people out there that if I'm like, you want to talk shit about anybody? They'd be like, oh, yeah. This guy, he ain't going to fucking whatever. And you're like, I ain't even got nothing that fucking runs right now, man. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I love that.
No. Well, the thing is also, I'm the underdog everywhere we go. You pull up into the Pro Street, like, staging lanes, it's me and 5 or 6 deck plate Cummins engines. Guess what? My little punk ass 6-liter ain't supposed to be there. I don't care what anybody says.
My little punk ass 6-liter. That's hilarious.
I pull my nice looking Pro Street truck up that I think is really nice next to Justin's, which is Firepunk's old Pro Street truck.
Yeah.
That he called Dirty Diane. Yeah, man. Hey, they don't look the same. I'm sorry. His shit's got the wheels all nice and tucked. Cage is perfectly painted. I'm like, yeah, we put this engine in like 3 hours ago. I think it worked.
We're going to see if it'll stay together or not.
I'm the guy that's like in the pits like, man, I don't know why my ground's all of a sudden bad. Hurry up and strip the wire. We'll just wrap it around the cage, put some electrical tape around it. Hey, guess what? It works now.
Truck runs by.
Yeah, that was a true fucking story. The nitrous controller didn't want to turn on. I'm like, man, what is going on? I'm in the staging lanes. I'm like, fuck. And I'm like, oh, the ground must be like fucked up or something. It was literally the wing nut, like, just the wire had wiggled enough where, like, it broke the wire off the fucking ring terminal. And like, I pulled it out, and I'm like, fuck. And Alex was standing next to me. I'm like, give me your knife. I heard it, like, knife strip the fucking thing. I'm like, go get electrical tape out of the side-by-side. Comes back with electrical tape. I'm like, okay, shit, there's clear coat on the cage. Hurry up, took his knife, like, scraping the clear coat off, fucking wrap it up. Works perfectly. I'm like, I'll fix that later. Man, I'm pretty positive it's still just electrical tape to the cage.
It's that way to this day, yeah.
That was one of those deals. I'll fix that later. I'm just, nah.
You never do.
Still works.
As long as it works enough, you never fix it.
Yeah, I mean, the nitrous controller kept working. The fucking blocks kept splitting. I've been a little busy.
A ground is a ground is a ground.
Exactly. But, no, I'll have aspirations to make it nice. Now that it's, every year it gets nicer and nicer, but hey, every year I learn more.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to talk shit to those guys, you know? I got a truck that Jim Bob could build for probably 70K, which sounds like a lot. But then you get next to those guys, and they got 75K underneath the hood. Not counting the chassis or
the
$40,000 Rossler transmission. It's like, yeah.
Maybe
a little outgunned here. Do my best.
A little outgunned here.
But when you win, you give them that old little as you guys expensive shit over there, guys.
Yeah, nudge them in the fucking ribs real quick. Right. You're like, hey, how about that one, huh? Hey, how about that one?
Exactly. You're sitting down on the top end. They're just looking at you like, what the fuck? Just got beat by a little punk ass 6-liter. It's like, yeah, you did.
Yeah,
my shit's leaking oil now. You need to go take care of this.
That's fucking hilarious. Come the fuck on.
But, I mean, those guys, you know, some of those guys are out there trying to keep it all pretty and shit. And I'm like, Alex will look at me like, hey, this AN line's leaking. I'm like, how bad is it leaking? He's like, you know, it's like a drip. I'm like, we got any microfiber rags and zip ties? He's like, are you kidding me? I'm like, dude, they're calling us to the lights. Fucking wrap that shit up.
Right,
let's go.
Send it.
But
we gotta send this fucker home.
I know. I don't make the smartest decisions. Don't take after me, people. If you're gonna get one of these vehicles that can go 150 mile an hour, and just so we're understanding, people don't understand this, an eighth mile is only 660 feet. That's two football fields. You're hauling ass. Don't be like me. I'm probably going to end up wadding one of these up one day. Trying to do things right.
What? I'm trying to remember when that was, or what happened. When did you do a wheel stand?
Oh, man. That was at the Wagler Fall race.
Oh, it was at the Wagler Fall. Yeah, I saw videos of that.
We were in a very tight points battle with Travis Trent for second place. And the way the rules are written for ODSS is a oil down is any oil down that takes more than 10 minutes of cleanup that you get a 10-point penalty on your season points.
Ouch.
Well, when I heard the engine go sour, like real sour, because it split the block, I got on the brakes pretty hard. Well, when you're trying to build a really light pro street truck, the front bias is very bad.
Yeah.
Like, my shit's like 80-20. Two of us can pick the rear of the truck up and move it around. The front, you can't do anything with.
That checks out.
Yeah, so you know I jabbed on the brake trying to get it stopped because it's easier to keep it oil. If it's oiling down the truck, in my mind, when it went sour, there was holes in the block.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you get stopped in a singular spot, that's an easier thing to clean up, and if you're out of the groove, they get real happy with you. Like, yeah. Hey, thanks for not ruining the track. Or you can be one of those people that don't fucking pay attention, like roll it all the way down the return road, and then you have 800 feet of oil to clean up. So I stood on the brake a little too hard. And like when I was in the cab, I was like, oh, that's the fucking ground, and we're like not sitting flat anymore. I'm like, this is not good. And then Michael Cordova came over and showed me a video because Dawson was recording them literally doing an interview when it happened. And the rear of that truck's about 4 feet off the ground. That was fucking scary. I could have flipped that thing pretty easily.
Well, I was gonna say when I saw that video, I was gonna make an edit and make it like pause and zoom in and be like, oh, a penny.
No, that's literally what everybody said. First of all, everybody's like, what the fuck happened? I'm like, man, I hit the brake too hard. It happens. We were doing well over 100, and I stood on the brakes with a rear end that doesn't weigh anything. And the way the truck works, the only reason the rear end would ever get heavy is because it's transitioning power through the chassis to drive the rear end down. Well, when you blow the engine up and it quits running, and then you stand on the brake, that's a paperweight back there. Like, it's not shit. But yeah, I was like, yeah. There was a lot of us when we pulled back in the pits of like, everybody's like, you find a quarter or something out there? Shut the fuck up. It's all right. I'm gonna be mad for 5 minutes. I need to fucking process this. But yeah, I've debated putting like a bias valve in the braking system. Take a little away from the front brakes.
What's the fun in that?
I don't know, man. It's a good time in that cab. I keep it lively in there, man. I don't know if you guys, if you can go look at my TikTok, there's a video that Hotshot Secret posted of that truck trying to kill me multiple times. But down in Crossville, Tennessee, it blew all four tires off like 40 feet out and made a dead left turn into the wall almost. And the camera guy went running. It was very entertaining. That truck, if you don't pay attention, that truck will fucking kill you. That's all there is to it.
Well, for fuck's sake. Austin, we're going to have to bring you on. Again,
yeah,
to
we're
bullshit.
Gonna have to again for sure.
But for now,
I'm fucking down. This has been a good time.
Fuck yeah! But for now, we're gonna go ahead and end this and go ahead and say goodbye to you.
Okay, later, guys.
Later, dude. See you, thanks buddy. For coming on.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll come down and see you. Talk to you later.
Later.
Dude, that guy's such a fucking good time.
Oh yeah, no, that's great.
Oh my god, dude. That's, like, the most conversation I've had with Austin, really. Like, other Is than, it? Like, Snapchat and shit like that.
Sure.
But, fucking Austin, dude.
He's having the time of his life over there.
No, he's having the time of his life without a bias for his brakes. You know, just we're just looking for pennies.
You like to party or not?
Well, we like to party, but we're looking for pennies so that way we can afford to keep buying 6-liter blocks, apparently. You fucking tired, buddy?
Yeah, I'm tired of shit.
Shit. Anyways, we're going to go ahead and cut this off here. We're going to bring Austin back on again. I'm not going to tell you when, but it's going to be soon. We'll get him.
Yeah.
We'll get him. We have a list of people that we're going to be running through here over the next couple weeks, just kind of banging out interviews. I'm not going to tell you who.
No.
It's always a surprise.
It's all a surprise. We have an entire list. We sat down and hashed it out the other day.
We did. But we have people. I mean, I got a build. I got somebody that's doing a build that's coming to UCC this year. We're going to try and build some suspense for it.
Ooh.
I'm really excited. I want to hear everything about it and everything she's done to it. We've got a couple other folks I can't remember off the top of my head right now, but I have a whole fucking list.
Yeah, there's a list.
Yeah, there's a list of at least like...
It's in the old spank bank.
Yeah, yeah. And we're coming up on UCC this year.
I know. I was thinking about that when we were talking about it just a little while ago.
Yeah, I mean...
We're getting...
I think if we're going to be able to bang out all these interviews before UCC to be able to build suspense for this stuff... We might have to start doubling up weeks. Like, every week might be an interview, and then maybe a solo or whatever. I mean, we do the interview solo, and we've been this in.
Yeah, but we might have to double up. Maybe.
We might have to double up. If you get lucky.
There is also, we did discuss, you may get some live interviews from UCC.
This is true. You may get a post-UCC live interview, talking to these people, seeing what's going on, how's this, that, and the other. On that list is, of course, Austin Denny, and we're going to see who else we can't talk to that's on our list and see how the show's going for them.
Yeah, we're
going to
go hunting.
We're going to go hunting.
We're going to go hunting at UCC.
And go talk to some folks. But in the meantime, you guys got a lot coming up on the podcast.
You do? Oh, yeah. We're loaded up. I mean, shit, we're 3 weeks ahead right now.
Yeah, I think we're at this moment, we're 3 weeks ahead. I think it's really funny to talk about how far we are ahead before we, you know, like before things come out and stuff like that. Because to the viewers, it's like, oh, well, like the next couple podcasts are like already pre-recorded. And it's like, you know what I mean? But it makes it easier for us to do that because it builds like stories and drama and stuff like that in our lives to be able to do a solo episode.
You know it does. I mean? It helps.
It does help. Because if we do like... If we do, like, one solo episode, you know, once every week or something like that, not a lot happens in a week.
That's true.
I mean, it does, but it doesn't.
We live interesting lives.
This is true. This is very true. This is very true. But to have pre-recorded episodes and stuff like that gives time for suspense to build. You get a more interesting episode, this, that, and the other, because we've lived a more amount of life.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But in the meantime, Dakota, where can they find you?
Instagram, dhickok, H-I-C-K-O-K, underscore 5.9. The old ticky-tack, Hickok Diesel. Where can they find you, clown?
You can find me on TikTok and Instagram at wildgoose_repair. But until next time...
Bye-bye!